For a few minutes, turn please to John's Gospel and chapter 3. Verse 16 of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Many, many years ago now, in fact it was 1964, the first time I was in Vancouver. In those days, the believers were able to have a gospel meeting in the mission hall. I remember speaking there one Saturday night from this verse, John 3 and 16. And before I read the verse, there were maybe 30 or 40 men there. And I asked them if there was anyone who could quote John 3 and 16. There was a little old man in overalls at the front that I learned afterward lived from the garbage pails of your fair city. At one time he had been in business, and he had gone down and down until now he was destitute. And without missing a word, he quoted John 3 and 16, letter perfect. Somewhere in his background, those words had got into his thinking, and my friend, they were still there. That's what's wonderful about God's book, it's living. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, will never be in hell, but have everlasting life. Many years ago, there was a preacher called Harry Moorhouse, and D.L. Moody heard him preach on one occasion when he visited England, and he said, when you come to Chicago, you're welcome to preach in my tabernacle. So Moody had been away, and he came home and he said to his wife, how's the young fellow getting along? Well, she said, he's preaching every night this week from John 3 and 16. And Moody went out to hear him that night, and again he said, we'll read John 3 and verse 16. And he said that night, if I could climb Jacob's ladder and ask Gabriel or another angelic being how much God loved the world, he would only be able to say that God so loved the world. Moody went home, and he got alone with God, and he was so impressed by the effect and the emotion and the appeal in that man's preaching that his whole ministry changed. And he preached more about the love of God than he had ever preached before. Well, I want very simply in a few minutes to show you that there are three things about God in this verse. And then there are three things about his Son and three things about the sinner. I'm just going to give you the bones, and you can put the meat on the bones at your leisure. I want you to think of the greatness of this love. God so loved the world. My friend, there never, never has been a higher expression of love in this world of ours than perhaps the love of a mother or a father for a child. Mr. Maxwell, who lies tonight in the Vancouver General Hospital, has preached on a number of occasions with me in gospel meetings. I'll never forget one night as he told of the war days when Hitler's bombers were coming toward England. Night after night, sometimes they would go over the shipyards in Belfast and try to bomb some of those areas. And sometimes they fell on in residential districts. Mr. Maxwell's father was an army man. He was called to the Civil Defense Forces, and his job was to go through the rubble after the raids looking for survivors. This morning, as they're moving timber and brick, they heard the cry of a child. And they tore into that pile of brick and timber, and out from beneath it walked a little girl, 5 or 6 years of age. And the soldier said to her, "How did you get here, dear?" She said, "My daddy saved me. My daddy saved me." When those planes were overhead, the father took that little girl away down beneath the staircasing and stretched his form across her. And while the building collapsed and he lost his life, she was saved. That's the love of a parent. But I want to tell you, friend, there's a God in heaven tonight, and while he hates your sin, he loves you. God so loved the world. Think again of the uniqueness of that gift. My friend, that gift was a display of the love of the heart of God. Never a gift given like this one. There's no provision made in the Bible for angels that sin. The Bible says they're cast down to hell. They're reserved in darkness. But here we are, guilty sons of Adam, objects of the love of God. God so loved the world. Dear man, he loves you tonight. Dear woman, God loves you in spite of your sin. He wants to save you. He so loved the world. But I want you to think of the promise that he made of eternal life. He promised that whosoever believeth in him, my friend, this gift springs from the heart of God. He offers it on the ground of simple faith. Whosoever believeth in him. But then think for a moment or two about the Son. His only begotten Son. The unique one, the French Bible says, the unique Son. The only one of a kind. I've only one Son, and I wouldn't give him for the nearest and the dearest in earth. But here's God that you and I have sinned against. One day out of the ivory palaces, there came a lovely man, and down he came to the womb of a virgin. And in the span of a hand, He was sheltered by the Holy Spirit. Nothing of sin contaminated that Blessed One. He comes forth, held in his mother's arms. And as she looked at him, he was the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Thank God that he came. But I want you to think in this verse, God is telling us something of the sufferings of the cross. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friend, in order to know something of the love of the Savior, you'd have to probe three oceans. The ocean of human suffering. Think of the suffering in this world of ours. We've heard of some of it. Because of sin. The awful, awful shame that has come into our world because of sin. You know, it began way back in the beginning. God put our foreparents in the garden, a perfect pair, standing there in their pristine glory, but then they disobeyed God. And from that, there became promiscuity and polygamy and homosexuality, and the world tonight is rotten to the core. But my friend, the Savior came to die for sin. You'd have to probe the ocean of human suffering. You'd have to probe, my friend, something not only of the sufferings of the world, but the suffering of the soul that dies in their sin. The great eternity to be tossed and turned on the billows of the wrath of God forever. No coming back. So final. But our friend, think of the sufferings of the Savior upon the cross. That Blessed One, crowned with a crown of thorns, nailed by hands and feet, his visage so marred more than any man. And in those dark hours, he bore the wrath of God that was our due. On him almighty vengeance fell, enough to sink the world in hell. He bore it for a sinful race and thus became our hiding place. Can you say that tonight? He took my place. He died for my sin. My friend, that's God's salvation. But I want to finish. We read about the sinner, the object of the love of God, the world. We salute brave men that left the print of their lunar boots on the surface of the moon. Armstrong and his companion. But my friend, there's no life there. It's the world of sinners lost. And I sometimes have wondered what it must have been to angelic hosts as they saw that little speck in the universe and they watched the Son of God as he came down and down to the world to die upon the cross to settle forever sin's tremendous day. But this verse tells me again that men love darkness rather than light. You can lift the lid off your city of Vancouver tonight and see what God sees. Men love darkness rather than light. And I want to tell you, friend, God knows every sin you and I have ever committed. And unless they're sheltered beneath the blood of Christ, you'll never be in heaven. God knows them all. One of Martin Luther's encounters with the enemy, he showed him a scroll of sin. And Luther said, they're all mine. And then he showed him another list. And he said, they're all mine. But he said, you can write across them these words, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Men love darkness rather than light. But God says again about the sinner, he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, friend, if you've never trusted the Savior, you're like a man sitting in the death cell, you're marking off the dates on the calendar until that day when you take the last walk. And in the states where I live, you're put in an electric chair and electrodes to your legs and brain, and 2,000 volts send your soul into eternity. But you're condemned before you sit in that chair. Ah, listen, friend. If you're not saved tonight, you're under the condemnation and the wrath of God. How wondrous to know there's a Savior, one that went to the cross, one who shed his precious blood, one that longs to bring peace and joy into that life of yours. We can say, if I could only tell him as I know him, how the sunshine of his presence lights my way. If I could tell how blessed is his presence, I am sure that you would make him yours today. But I can never tell him as I know him. I can never tell all love divine. I only can entreat you to accept him. You can know him only when you make him thine. God grant that some soul tonight, for the first time, will realize their great need of a Savior. Their sin has separated them from God. If they die in their sins, they'll be lost forever. But Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. He took the sinner's place. If you trust in the Savior tonight, you'll be saved. You'll have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come now at the close of our coming together. We thank you, Lord, for thy child that can go back to a moment in life when this great truth was made real to him, that when the Savior died, it was to put away his sin. O God, we thank thee for all in the gathering who can say the same this evening. What a story will be told when we all get home to the glory, from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We'll sing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We pray thy blessing upon thy word tonight, even in salvation. We commend us to thee as we part. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.